Hello and welcome to another Corner Stall Boxing Radio Show. As always, I'm Paul. Joining me tonight are Rob and Damien. Good evening, fellas. How are you? You okay?
Okay, mate.
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Fantastic. Now, you may notice that we're bringing this to you a little bit late. That's my fault this week, but it gives us a bit more time, I think, to work out on, you know, what we've got to talk about. It's been a bit of a busy week with the Klitschko Fury press conference with some superb comments coming out of there, which I know had a few of our writers chuckling to themselves. The Floyd supposed announcement as well, Rob, with Andre Berto, which we'll touch on a little bit later on, and find out who would actually tune in to that fight. But before we do any of that, I want to have a look back at last week's action, last Saturday's, because there was a big card on in the UK with some controversial scoring, shall we say. And there was the Frampton fight in the States as well, which could have gone better, but it could have gone worse at the same time. So we'll start with Carl Frampton, Damien, because obviously, you know, there's the Irish connection there, and obviously you're a huge fan.
Yeah.
Dropped twice in the first two rounds. What we say dropped, sort of wobbled maybe. If you were Barry McGuigan, I mean, what was your going through your head, you know, as he touched down for the first time in his career?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think a lot's being made of it. You know, the knockdowns, I think there's a lot of people were touching on Twitter that he didn't really look that hurt. But I think, I don't know, it's the way he just came out, you know, he just looked, for me, it just looked like he came out a bit as if he, you know, it was his first time in America, he wanted to impress. You know, I can sort of see that reason, you know, what a lot of people were saying, but the knockdowns weren't really anything heavy. I think the second one was a bit better than the first one, but I don't know, I just think he was off balance. And I know that he, you know, what he touched on about the, I think it was the canvas had padding in it, an inch and a half, 2 stick. But it was an interview he was watching, he was saying that apparently that was to help Chavez Jr. that padding was down. So sort of, I can sort of see where he's coming from in that respect. But yeah, no, I thought apart from that first round, he won good and he put on a show, but sort of just a bit of a nightmare start, but a bit of a wake-up call for him. And, you know, it'll probably help him going forward. You know, whenever he's going to least face, you know, he sort of had everything his own way. You know, whenever he's sort of in all his other fights, sort of getting into the Odyssey and just knocking people over. So I think it's probably a good thing for him. You know, it's a bit of a wake-up call. It just showed that he can't just walk into the ring and, you know, just expect to blow people out. He has to be on his game, you know, all the time whenever he's fighting. And, you know, yeah, so apart from that, I don't think he was ever in trouble, you know, so to speak. You know, the knockdowns, as soon as he got knocked down, he got up. He had his wits about him still. And, you know, he ended up, he did put on a show and he won nearly every round after it in my eyes. But, yeah, no, I think it's a good thing.
Rob, do you maybe think that, especially fans, you know, in this country who maybe don't know boxers from Mexico, you know, Gonzalez is unknown. Do you think maybe we're a bit harsh when we call them no hope, or when they're called no hopers and things like that? Because you tend to see that, I know it's a, you know, it's that old quote, but in Mexico they do tend to match them quite tough. Do you maybe think he was underrated by both Frampton's camp and also the fans?
Yeah, I think everyone went in expecting formality. And a lot of people played on the fact that, you know, he was the son of a very good fighter. And I think everybody just overlooked him a bit, that, like, he's only 22. And I think, yeah, he made his debut at 17. And he was still outboxed. But Carl Frampton's, you know, a top quality fighter. So I think yeah, the general public just didn't really know who he was, the British public, you know, the boxing fans, and just thought it was a formality fight, but he was obviously better than we all thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just took Frampton by surprise a little bit. I don't know what was going on in the first round. Like, maybe just caught cold, you know, sleeping really.
Yeah, I mean, do you maybe think that, because a lot of the fans have him in direct competition with Scott Quigg, who we'll come on to in a bit. Now, and I think a lot of fans have forgotten that he was dropped a couple of years ago by Jamie Arthur. Do you maybe think that fans are, and I have seen some people saying he's now chinny, do you think we're too quick to write boxers off and call them, you know, chinny or useless or overrated, overhyped, because of one small mistake? I mean, at the end of the day, I think I mentioned it on a previous show, I interviewed a boxing coach in the past, and you know, he was quite honest, and he said everybody's got a button. Some buttons are just harder to find, but if you find it, you will hurt them. You will drop someone. Do you maybe think that's just the case with some boxing fans, that we're a bit too quick to judge?
Well, yeah, definitely. With, you know, the overreaction, like you see people saying he's got a bad chin, you know, and he's not that good and everything. You know, it is ridiculous, really. How people just completely turn, and it, especially if they support the rival, then they just try and put down the other fighter. Like Quick looked great in stopping Kiko, but in the first round he was getting pushed back. Like his power sort of helped him out. If you just watch the first round, it just looks like Martinez is going to dominate him, and luckily his power sorted him out. So,
going on to the Quig fight then, Rob, do you think that it was maybe a early stoppage? Do you think that maybe Kiko should have been given the chance to recover? Because obviously he was dropped, but from memory that he was then stopped on his feet, I think, following a barrage of punches. I mean, do you think perhaps another count could have been in order?
I think he was
done twice,
Martinez,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he went down twice and he was done, really. I think he just would have gone down again. So I've no complaints about that stoppage. There was another fight. It was in Martin Murray, and that was a ridiculous stoppage.
Yeah.
They just got stopped just because the other guy was a journeyman. He wasn't hurt or anything.
And the thing is as well, when you look at a journeyman, Damien, they obviously try and fight as often as they can. Now that guy's been stopped, he can't fight for, I think, a month. I mean, that's money off his table.
It just seemed a bit odd, you know, the way our fight was stopped. That maybe it was because of the, you know, Quig and Frampton fights were going to clash. You know, they probably were looking for any excuse just to get that fight over and done with. It wasn't the best of fights to watch either. I was just going to touch on what Rob said there about Martinez. You know, I think just you were saying, and a couple of the other people were saying, that maybe that stoppage was a bit too early, but I think after he was dropped the first time, Quig went in and threw about 16 punch combination, and you know, Martinez done nothing to even try and clinch or, you know, even to protect himself. He was getting hit with everything, so I don't think he would have been able to defend himself if that fight had gone on. So I think it was a good stoppage. Just agree with Rob.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing. It's purely I think he walked onto a shot square on, didn't he? And I think when that happens, you have two modes of, there's two things that happen. You're either Tyson Fury and you fall on your back and you don't take any more damage and it gives you the chance to recover, or you're a bit like Kiko and you take about six more punches before you go on your back. And I think once that happens, you sort of finish. But there is one fight I do want to talk about. I mentioned it before, the Anthony Crawler fight. I was out Saturday night. I came home, caught the last six rounds. However, I have since watched it. I had it tight. I had Crawler winning by one or two. I mean, how did you guys have it, Rob? Did you have Crawler ahead, or did you have it for Perez?
Yeah, I had him just pinching it. I know people are shouting robbery and all that, but it wasn't that bad. But yeah, I thought he deserved to, you know, to become the champion of whatever the WBA version it is. But I thought he won the fight.
How about you, Damien? Did you have that for Crawler? Because obviously the point deductions, you know, would have swung it.
Yeah, but to be honest, I was the same as yourself. You know, after watching the Frampton fight, I was sort of still watching the broadcast of that, so I missed a few rounds. But whenever I turned it around, to be honest, I was sort of losing interest watching it, because that guy Perez just wasn't as good as he was advertised to be. Mm-hmm. From what I could see, you know, Crawler he had the higher work rate, and, you know, he was throwing the better shots, and sort of just started boring me after a while, and I couldn't really pay attention to it. But I just thought, you know, Crawler was winning the fight, and I suppose I'll probably need to sit down again and just watch it. But as I said, from what I've seen, you know, Crowley looked like he was dominating mm-hmm. the better work. So I can sort of see why people are, you know, sort of coming out and saying it was a robbery, but I probably need to score it myself before I can.
Do you know one way I would, this is where I would love Sky to go down the middle route with their commentators. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would agree, or if you don't agree, you know, tell us why, with the commentary. Because I caught, as I say, caught the last six rounds the Saturday night, and the way they were going on was if Quigg had won every round, Crawler had won every round, it was like he hadn't dropped a point. And then as soon as the result was announced, it was a robbery. There was no, oh, it was a tight fight. And you see it so often, whereas I think if it had been the other way round, they would have been screaming what a great decision it was. So I do think there needs to be a down-the-middle calling on these fights. I know that Matchroom is Sky's company, effectively, if you know what I mean. And but I think it misleads some casual fans. Do you know what I mean, Damien?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. It's just the whole way through it. It's every time sort of Quigg was throwing a shot, you know, it was just like, oh, great shot by Scott Quigg, and then they ignore everything Perez was doing. But,
yeah.
You know, from, so to be honest, because even whenever I was watching it, I was sort of on Twitter at the same time, and I was listening to it. So in my head, you know, I was probably swayed a wee bit by the Sky commentary as well from the action that I wasn't watching. But, that's Sky renowned for that, and there's a, you know, whenever it comes on again, normally I would just turn the volume off, just maybe throw music or something on, but yeah, this guy's brutal.
Oh, yeah, it's so one-sided. Like the Chris Jenkins Tyrone Nurse fight, they basically gave Chris Jenkins the first two rounds, and then after that they didn't mention a punch he landed. It was all seemed to be for Nurse, and it's like swaying you into thinking one way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If people thought Nurse won, that's fair enough. But if you just go by what they're saying, it's like he's dominating mm-hmm. the fight.
Yeah.
And Howard Foster must be, you know, listening to their commentary because he seems to score that way. You know, his cards are way off.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that one, Rob, because obviously that was a draw. Jenkins had a hell of a cut on his left eye the majority of the fight, really, you know, eight rounds. Have you had chance, or will you get chance to speak to Chris and just see how he's feeling after that fight and whether he wants a rematch?
I believe he said straight after the fight he'd like a rematch, and they've drawn for the title, so that for me, that's the logical thing to do. But I haven't spoken to him, but I've seen that he's been posting the photos of his eye everywhere.
I have seen him on Facebook a few times.
Yeah, it keeps popping up. I'm sure, because he's had quite some time away and he faded a bit late. And I'm sure that was just down to like fight fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tyrone Nurse has been quite busy. So it'll be interesting, the rematch. So, obviously, I didn't score the fight that well because I was having a beer with that fight, cheering Chris on. I was biased. So
one thing I do, well, there are a couple of fights I just want to touch on in the States, and it goes on something that I've mentioned today. I've seen today. There's a press release from Hatton Promotions about Lucas Brown. It came through a couple of days ago, but I reread it today. He said that nobody wants to see Wilder Areola. Now, is that a genuine fight, Rob, that people are talking about, or that Wilder mentioned? Have I missed that? Because obviously he drew at the weekend against what should have been an overmatched opponent.
I didn't see it, and it was supposed to be quite terrible to watch. I think they've been lining Areola up for a while, Heyman. For Wilder, Chris Areola is pretty entertaining when he wants to be, but you don't know what version turns up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously the other fight, Damien. Just before we move on to last Friday's action involving David Price, which will only be a very quick discussion. Trust me. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. came in overweight again and won a unanimous decision. The weight was changed on the day of the weigh-in when he couldn't make weight. to a catch weight of £170. Is it time for Chavez Jr. just to say, do you know what, I've had enough? And because he's not obviously not got any dedication.
I don't think it's time for him to say it because, you know, as far as he's concerned, he's getting paid, you know, $1 million, $2 million for these fights. I think it's time for, you know, the networks to turn around and say enough's enough because I seriously can't understand how his fights are still being shown on TV. You know, after the Funfara fight, you know, he came in, he quit on a stool. He was battered around the ring. He claimed he won the fight at the end. And then there's sort of a, like a slap in the face to people. He starts posting pictures of his check, you know, on Instagram. And do you know what I mean? It's like some people that sort of watch him face, you know, haven't really got much money, and it's just like he, you know, sort of being arrogant about what he's earning. So I think in his head, you know, everything's being put in his favour. You know, the weights, the probably the gloves, whatever. Everything's being sort of set up for him to win at that fight against the guy Reyes on Saturday night. You know, he was just a journeyman, and that was probably a fight that they set up for him to come in and just blow the guy out and look good. But he couldn't even look good.
Yeah, because obviously,
you know, at the end of the day, so he came in and he struggled against the journeyman. He didn't make weight. He made excuses again at the end of it. So, like, I think it's just time for people just to, or even the networks, just to say, you know what it is. We're not willing to show this guy's face on TV anymore. Just people don't want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not a bad shout, but it's never going to happen because of the name, sadly. We can always dream, though. You know, we can always hope and pray.
I'm actually surprised he still has fans after the Funfara fight because, you know, the Mexicans are, you know, quite passionate about the boxing, and, you know, we seen what happened to Duran whenever he quit in the ring. Whenever Chavez quit in the ring, I thought that would be the end of him.
I mean, there could be that other aspect, and, you know, there could be a bit of Mayweather on it. People are tuning in for him to lose, to see him lose. I mean, that could be it, and, you know, he'll carry on getting paid.
But the thing with this, he's already getting beat, you know, like by Funfara Martinez. People have already seen it, whereas Mayweather has never been beat, so people just tune in to see if he gets his first loss. But
it's,
you
know, still fun.
He's been beat, looked bad. I just can't understand what people's fascination is with him.
It's still fun watching him get slapped around the ring, though. But, you know. So over to Germany on the Friday night, David Price, Erkan Tepe. Stopped in two rounds, Price. But you know, people have said it was a nothing punch. I thought it was quite a nice left hook. in close quarters, it was a good punch, it was bang on the chin. I have seen calls for him to retire. I mean, there's not a lot we can say really, other than David Price is a domestic heavyweight. I mean, Rob, as a domestic, you know, I've seen domestic fighters calling for him to retire. I don't remember people calling for fighters to retire when he was knocking them out. Surely there's got to be a bit of common sense about when you're saying these things in the media.
Yeah, I think he can still get like a fight with Chisora and then or Joshua, and still quite good many fights for him. So I believe he's going to keep going. It's a Tepe seems to be quite a good puncher. So, you know, I did think he was going to win. I think he was the only one I got right last week. But it's always knee-jerk reaction. Quit now, and it's up to him really. If it depends if he's put off or not.
I mean, the worrying, or what concerned me about it, Damien, is it was Jamie Moore that said to put the article. It was on Sky Sports. David Price, please retire, and all that. And you think, I watched him go through life and death, and you know, get stopped, take more punches to the head than Price did. And he's asking David Price to retire for his health. Well, nobody was asking him to do it. You know, there's got to be some common sense with it, Damien, hasn't there? But he could go back to domestic level and dominate the domestic scene for the next five years and still earn a good living.
I think sort of my view on Price is, you know, there was that much smoke blew up him whenever he was knocking these guys over, that maybe, you know, in his head he still believes that, you know, he should be up there fighting against the top guys in that division. But, you know, would it be one of those ones where he maybe sort of can't accept that, you know, that he has to go back to the domestic scene? You know, and that's the thing with Joshua as well. You know, is that something that could potentially happen with Anthony Joshua? You know, because of all the, you know, the Hearns sort of saying he's the next Mike Tyson or whatever. You know, if he was to sort of have a loss, you know, would the same thing happen to him? But yeah, I sort of agree with you with Jimmy Moore, although Jimmy Moore's fights were exciting. You know, David Price, his head to be taken Friday due to the knockout. That was it. You know, he didn't really show nothing. And, you know, I sort of agree with what people are saying about him. You know, he has that sort of oddly kind of thing about him, you know, where people throw shots at him. He looks like he sort of cars a little bit. So, I just think that, you know, I'm not too sure if he can cut it again. You know, he probably will have to go down to domestic, because if he can't beat guys like Tepper, then, do you know what I mean? Maybe Jamie Moore saying it in a sense where that division's so bad, if he can't even make it to European level, well, then what's the point in going on? So, but I think it was Rob said there as well, there's fights against the likes of Joshua, Chisora, all them guys, and they'll all be decent money. Like, I'm sure it'll be sort of the kind of money most would get for a European title fight, you know, at domestic level. So I couldn't really care if he goes on or not, you know. But for me, it'll be a case where, you know, I'll always back against him. And see, even after fighting Friday, I was actually sort of kicking myself, because I sit down on Friday night and seen someone on Twitter saying that Price was fighting on Friday. I thought it was Saturday. And I was sort of saying to myself, because I was going to take Tepper by knockout, you know, just because after watching the fight he had against Martin Rogan and Spratt and stuff, you know, he did have the power to knock Price out, and I was sort of kicking myself because I didn't get around to doing it. And I heard the odds were pretty good too.
But not to blow my own trumpet, but in the 606 prediction, I did put Tepper as a KO 1-3, and I had it as a joker as well, which was double points.
Yeah, I didn't
bet any money on it, because I didn't have any.
I think any fight Price goes into now, you know, you would have to back him to get KO'd, because I think
you do have to question his choice of trainer as well, don't you? Because he did go with an American to start with, and I think for the second Thompson fight, he lost that, and then he got rid of him. And from what I believe now, he's just training with a conditioner. Now, this is a guy with fundamental flaws. He's got no jab, no defence. And he's not going to correct any of them training with a conditioner. The guy who you would want training him is sadly no longer with us, Manny Stewart. He would be the type of guy who would teach him to protect the chin. He probably never gets to world level anyway, but he would teach him the right style, if you know what I mean, and he would teach him how to jab. He lacks too many fundamentals that training without a proper coach, because he's not an unfit guy, is he? When you look at him, he's not like 99% of the other heavyweights.
Yeah, but I think it just shows as well in the heavyweight division that, you know, I think with Price, you know, his power was all he needed, you know, at that lower level, and you know, as soon as he took the step up, you know, it just showed that you need a lot more than power. And Thompson just showed his flaws for all the world.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think maybe he's probably turned pro a bit too late. And what is he? He's 33 or 32 now. I don't know. I just see. I mean, I think he's changed trainers. Was it three times?
Yeah, he was with he was with Franny Smith originally, and when he went to train with the American, he was only with the American for 2 weeks. And then Franny Smith did the rest of the training from memory. And then I don't think either of them are in the camp anymore. So yeah, now he's got a brand new trainer. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Even in the build-up, you know, before the fight started, it showed you him sort of training and stuff. And he just looked sort of flat-footed and heavy on his feet. And, you know, I just don't think... I think with the heavyweight division, you sort of need to have a bit of speed, a bit of movement. You know, you need to have a lot more than sort of a big punch, you know, as oddly found out as well, whenever he sort of started falling by the wayside, and I can sort of now, like, and it does pay me to say it, because he just does seem like a nice guy, like, but I can sort of see the oddly traits in him now, you know, where people are throwing punches at him, and it's like he's afraid to take the punches, and I don't think he'll ever get out of that mode.
Yeah, I completely agree. From one sort of British heavyweight to another, then Tyson Fury's obviously got his world title fight later this year against Klitschko, but this week was the press conference. Now, as ever with Tyson Fury, there are always some really good comments. I'm just seeing if I can get a video. If I've got a video here, one. So if you want to hit, here's a soundbite. See if I can get it to work.
Guten Abend, alle sein. Ich bin Tyson Fury, the sexy Meister from Great Britain. I believe he has never faced a challenge like me ever before, and I don't believe he'll ever face a challenge like me again. I'm a unique fighter, one of a kind. There's never been someone like me before in history, and a fighter like me only comes along every 1,000 years.
I believe that Tyson Fury is really meaning here. what he's talking about. And he's definitely not coming here on October 24th just to be present and be on the canvas. No. He came here to win the championship fight.
It's a personal mission for me to rid boxing of a boring person like you. I've just been falling asleep listening to your stupid speech.
Oh, you hate the old men?
Yeah, no, I don't hate old men, but listen. Listen, when being spoken to. Listen. Yeah. Listen, you ask the question and I will answer.
Okay, please.
Listen, personal business between me and thee. Understand? Yeah? I'm interested in all the titles, all them belts you've got on there. I'm interested in breaking your face in. That's what I'm interested in. Yeah? You're boring. I want to rid you out of the heavyweight division. Your jab and grab style, surely all of Europe wants to see you get beaten. And all of Europe and the rest of the world will see you get beaten. You have about as much charisma as my underpants. Zero. You're not even heavyweight. You know, the first time I actually met you face to face was in your training camp in Austria in 2010. And I expected this great guy, this great champion. And what did I find? A man with a pair of boxing gloves on, throwing jabs and 1-2s and whatever. The same thing over and over again. Nothing. And I went away from that training camp with pure confidence in the fact that you are nothing. Remember that. You are nothing. And you are getting knocked out.
So there we go. There's some brief comments from the press conference that happened this week. Robert, he sounds confident.
Very confident. We'll have to see what happens once he's actually in the ring, though, what his game plan is. And I'm not sure whether he's just going to go for it or he's just going to try and box. I can't quite figure out how he's going to go about it.
Would you be backing him? Is that who your money would be on? You know, come fight night, or do you think it's going to be another win for Klitschko?
I'd love to see Tyson Fury win, not because I'm a big fan, it's just because I'm a bit bored with Klitschko. Even though, you know, he's been dominant. Tyson Fury can win, but I think his chin, he's been dropped by quite a few light punches, small guys, and I think Klitschko will get to the chin. And then we'll see if Fury gets back up then, when a 6'7" guy is nailing him with big shots.
Do you maybe think the fact that Fury was dropped is down to technical deficiencies, or do you think it is a case that he can't? You know, he does have a bit of a bad chin, because one that sticks in my mind is the Cunningham fight where he came in square on and got caught flush on the chin, and it was similar to Froch against Groves, came in square on and got caught and went down. Do you maybe think there's some technical deficiencies behind why Fury's been dropped in the past, and it's maybe not that he's got a bad chin?
No, definitely. I think everyone that watched Fury, you know, he's renowned for sort of looking clumsy whenever he was in, you know, his earlier fights. So I think his knockdowns would have been down the, you know, bad footwork, sort of not moving around the ring, standing right in front of people. And, you know, to be honest, if any heavyweight, you know, even as Vladimir Klitschko in his early career, you know, if you stand in front of any heavyweight and you get hit flush, you know, 99.9% of them are going to go down. So I think since then, you know, he seems to have come on leaps and bounds with his boxing skill. And although some of his fights haven't really been the best, you know, the watch, like the Chisora fight and things like that, but, you know, he's winning there and he's sort of... So he hasn't really had to get out of first gear. You know, he's just sort of putting on a clinic. So I think it's something to have worked on, because I think back then he was a bit rough around the edges. And, you know, he used to, and especially with the Cunningham fight that you just mentioned, you know, Peter Fury wasn't allowed to travel to America then. So he went over and I think he got caught up in the hype with, you know, all the American media and all the bloggers over there, because, you know, they were all getting him fired up and trying to get him to say something mad. And, you know, I think he just sort of went off on one, because he's not really the most stable of guys.
That's when he sang, wasn't it, afterwards in the ring? He serenaded the crowd afterwards, didn't he? From memory.
Yeah, no, he's not slick there. He's brilliant to watch. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he doesn't get blasted out by, you know, Klitschko, because he is good for boxing, you know, the way he talks and sort of his obvious press conferences and stuff. But, you know, yeah, that's sort of... Back then, I think it's... I don't think anybody, you know, could deny that, you know, that he was a big you know, clumsy oof, you know, the way he was in the middle of the fight. He's just getting in, he just wants to have a tear up, but, you know, now he seems to have settled down. I think Peter's sort of straightened his head out a bit, and, you know, I think it's going to be a tough fight for Klitschko, to be honest.
Do you maybe think he's challenging the wrong champion?
Probably, but I think a lot of these heavyweights, you know, the guys here ranked, you know, round about the top, are going to find it tough to even get a shot at Wilder at the minute. You know, he's sort of fighting the guys like Molina and talking about fighting Briggs and Areola. So I think he's going to be, you know, well protected to keep that belt in America. So I think that this is probably the soonest that he's going to get a world title shot. And, you know, fair play to him for taking it. But I think with Wilder at the minute, we're just going to see him, you know, fight a lot of duds. And I think it's just going to be sort of hard for guys to even get anywhere near that belt, to even get a shot at it.
Rob, let's fast forward to, say, December time, and Fury has won the belt, just theoretically. can you see a domestic showdown with Anthony Joshua being brought forward 12 months to December and maybe being held at Wembley Stadium?
No, not really. I do think they're going to take their time with Joshua. They keep talking, doing it quickly, but I think they've got a plan, and they're just going to, you know, keep him winning, keeping the momentum going, and then maybe 2017.
That's what the year that's been touted, hasn't it? This week, 2017 is the year they're going to challenge for a world title.
Yeah, and I think they'll stick to it. I'm not sure. Fury maybe will get a clash with Wilder after Wilder's had his 4 or 5 milking fights. I think Anthony Joshua's team are going to stick to that plan of rather than bring it forward.
So only 4 or 5 milking fights for Wilder.
I think there's a Japanese guy in the Wilder's rankings now as well, Fujimoto.
That's not the big 7-footer, is it?
Lucas Brown seems to be a dangerous fight for Wilder. So,
well, the thing is, Lucas Brown's been waiting for his world title shot for 12 months now, because he was due to fight Chagaev 12 months ago, and that fight just hasn't happened. It's just gone on, and, you know, there's got to be a reason that fight hasn't happened. I mean, be a hell of a fight, Brown and Wilder. Might not last very long, but it'd be a good fight.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
The other news then from, well, there's other bits and pieces that I want to touch on, actually. There's stuff just sort of springing to mind. Mayweather has supposedly announced his next opponent through American website TMZ. And it's going to be Andre Berto. Damien, how excited are you for that fight?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really got excited about Mayweather fighting, I don't know how many years now.
So this is even worse than for you.
Yeah. I think the Haddon fight was probably the last time where, you know, I had the butterflies in my stomach, you know, due to the build-up and stuff that they had. But I think with Berto, you know, he's obviously looking to go out on a high. And from watching the Berto against Soto Carrasco, I think it was, Berto got stopped on a left hook, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
And I just think that the Mayweather team's setting up this fight because they want to go out on a knockout, you know, because we know that Mayweather likes to throw the left hook. So I think they're bringing someone in who they reckon that Mayweather can stop, because a lot of people, you know, you're only as good as your last fight. So I think that if he goes out on a knockout, you know, I think people, you know, especially the casual fans as well, they'll probably, you know, there'll be more clamour for him to come back, and rather than if he goes out with a 12 rounds, you know, another Bourne decision.
Do you really think this is going to be the last fight for Mayweather, though? Rob, do you think, you know, he's going to go for that 50-0, should he win? Is it going to be too tempting?
I think this is going out on CBS, free TV in America, so it's just going to be a big advert, really, for Mayweather to as many fans as possible, and then they'll build up for the Marciano record, and then 50th will be pay-per-view. I hope it's a better opponent then. Because Birdo just tends, he's got skills, but he just tends to get beaten up.
He tends to swell, doesn't he, very easily around the eyes and things, and normally halfway you can't see.
But he's got fast hands, he's got decent power, but he just seems to, he just gets hit a bit too much, and then I think Mayweather will probably, you know, just have fun with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one man who will obviously be a little disappointed with this announcement then is Amir Khan, because he's been, you know, following Floyd around like a lost sheep for 2 years now. Damien, I mean, he's been calling out Keith Thurman. Do you see that fight even getting to the table? Or
Khan? Yeah. Thurman, yeah. Definitely do. To be honest, I think sort of Khan the last couple of years, you know, you can say that he's had a couple of easy ones, you know, against Collazo, Alexander, and what do you call the other guy?
Amir
Khan's brother. Who?
Diaz?
No, I will. Algieri, yeah. So, but I think Khan only really took those fights because, you know, he didn't really want to risk it, you know, building up the Mayweather fight. So I think if he's not going to get the Mayweather fight, you know, I think he definitely will take the likes of Thurman and stuff because, you know, Khan, you know, he's fought Alexander, Garcia, Peterson, Maidana. You know, there's nothing really that sort of strikes me that Khan would duck up fight with them guys, you know, with likes of Thurman and stuff. So, yeah, I think Khan, I think it will get to the table in America. You know, Khan sort of, you could argue, out of all the other welterweights outside of Mayweather, has probably taken on the toughest fights, like, you know, in his last string of fights. Mm-hmm. You know, if you count back before Collazo anyway, you know, the Maidana, Judah, Peterson, Garcia, you know, those four fights alone are probably better fights than, you know, any of those guys at the minute coming up have had.
Yeah.
So I don't see any reason that the Khan will duck Thurman.
So while we're on Mayweather, obviously that's going to be a September fight, I think. Now, one of the guys from the Money Team promotional company, Badu Jack, was supposed to defend his title against Britain's George Groves. Rob, the date for that, I think, was August 22nd. That fight has now been cancelled with no explanation. So it looks like George Groves is going to be fighting on a Mayweather undercard. I mean, say what you want about him personally or in the ring, this guy seems to get big dates.
Yeah, I spotted that the other day, and it's a great platform for George Groves, and I'm sure he'll revel in it. But yeah, it's a bit, even though a fight's being put back, it's for the best, really, for Groves' image, you know, as long as he wins. Mm-hmm. Which is, there's a good chance he can. But yeah, it won't get much bigger platform than free TV in the US.
Mm-hmm. The thing is there, Damien, as well, obviously, should he win, he's fought, as Rob says, on free-to-air television in the States. He's fought on a Floyd Mayweather card. He's already fought and headlined Wembley. He's going to be walking into another domestic showdown, potentially with James DeGale, which you would probably think would again be held at Wembley, would probably sell out Wembley. There's just something about Groves who he seems to be, like I say, walking into these big fights, these big dates, and as long as he doesn't blow his money, he'll be able to retire a very wealthy man after just the last probably 2 years of boxing, should these fights come off.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all being racked up just over that knockdown he got a fratch. You know, in the first fight, that seems to be what he's earned all this money for. But I personally, just looking at that fight against Buddy Jack, you know, the way Fratz has been going the last couple of fights, you know, I maybe back against him in this fight as well. So I just think, not too sure if the Gale fight will come off. It'll probably come off anyway, you know, even if the two of them slip up because they have the bad blood. But it's not too sure about Sal Wembley, like, to be honest, with him and the Gale. Not too sure if it's, you know, it would be as big a fight as that, but hopefully it is, and hopefully Buddy Jack.
I think what you've got to think with the Gale Groves fight is they're both London guys, aren't they?
Yeah, just out of interest, is Groves signed with Al Haymon for this, has he?
No, I don't think so. He's still with Sauerland.
Okay, yeah. I just thought if he had signed with Al Haymon, you know, for this fight on CBS, then it probably would have made that fight a lot easier to make.
Well, I think from understanding, it's purely an advisory position, Heyman at the moment. Eddie Hearn is still De Gale's promoter. For how long now is anyone's guess, but as far as I'm aware, it's just an advisory position at the minute. So,
yeah, there seems to be a few fighters going the same route.
Yeah,
there's somebody else as well recently, I think Eddie Hearn mentioned as well.
Frampton's done it, hasn't he?
Yeah, Frampton did it, and then I thought there was somebody else as well as De Gale, but he can't promote and advise.
Well, no, obviously there's been lawsuits, haven't there, about this, and they're saying that he is.
Yeah, he's basically...
He's breaking the Ali Act, isn't he?
Yeah, but there are... I think Greg Cohen promotes some of his shows, maybe Warrior Boxing, so yeah. I think he's pretty safe, really.
Great. Well, I mean, let's have a quick look to this weekend's action. Obviously, we're recording the show Friday night this week, so you might not hear it till next week, by which time some of the fights might have happened, but we'll go through them anyway. So Friday night, there was a card on Box Nation, Wembley Arena in London, Frank Warren card. I was talking to Rob before, Damien, saying this card's getting a lot of stick on forums and social media about it being quite a poor card. But it is just your standard Friday night domestic card. It's not a bad card. It's just not amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's domestic, isn't it? Mitchell Smith's on the card now. He's not got a bad opponent. He's fighting Dennis Tuber, and he recently headlined a Matchroom show in Leeds. Do you guys like Mitchell Smith? Do you think he's got any, the ability to get to world level?
He's a good fighter. I think the jury's still out, really. But Tuberon went the distance with Warrington, so that's a good test, really, tonight. But it's a bit early to say how far Smith is going to go, from what I've seen, anyway.
How about you, Damien? Are you a fan of Mitchell Smith's?
Yeah, no, he seems to be doing all the right things at the minute, but I think it's just a bit too early to say. he really needs to... step up his opposition before we could really, sort of proclaim him as, being at that level. But, he seems decent enough at the minute. He seems to have a good punch on him. So, yeah, I think he's already faded to watch, but he's not someone that I've been focusing too much attention on, to be honest.
The next fight in the card was Frank Buglioni against Fernando Castaneda. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have seen this. Castaneda was 7 pounds and 2 ounces over the super middleweight limit. The fight is still on BoxRec. I've not seen anything to say it's off. Serious, concerns for a guy who comes in that heavy, Damien.
Yeah, no, definitely. was this fight to be announced only up until about a week or so ago, was it?
One was announced. This is for a title, so I think this had been announced a while ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sort of 7 pounds, it sort of sounds like someone hasn't been training, to be honest. I would be a bit concerned for him, rather than Buglioni's, depending on how his training's went.
Yeah, I mean, there's also no excuse not to have trained. He hasn't fought since November. So then I guess it depends how much weight he actually packed on, I suppose.
Because was supposed to be fighting Chudinov, I thought, and then...
He was up to about, was it a month ago? Chudinov pulled out, I think. Yeah, he's had a while, this guy, to get... I suppose a month ago, I speak from sort of my experience, if you know how much weight your body can cut in a month, certainly when you're a boxer, I suppose, would have known a month ago if he could have made the weight. The fact that he's missed it by such a large margin suggests that he never had any intention of doing it, maybe.
Yeah, and I always thought they had like a check like a week before.
They normally do with the WBA, don't they, as well?
Yeah, because I know it's a minor title, but it's intercontinental. But
it's the intercontinental paperweight or something, isn't it?
The intergalactic.
Yeah. run through the card very quickly. We've got Oval McKenzie against Jan Forsman for the WBA Continental Cruiserweight title. Gary Cochran against Rick Godding for the British... It's a British lightweight British light middleweight title eliminator, Jamie Cox against Blas Miguel Martinez for the vacant WBO European super middleweight title. Another one there, Martinez was 8.25 pounds over the limit of the weigh-in. So Kevin Satchel was on this card last night. He's now not. So don't know what's happened there. Billy Joe Saunders against Joan Blah. Derek Chisora against Becky Lobzadze. Louis Petit is fighting for the WBO super bantamweight title. Top lad, Louis. Hopefully he'll be able to get that. It doesn't look too much of a test. And Boy Jones against Yanis Puxins. There is more action on Saturday night. There's some, you know, there's a British card, which I think will be Channel 5, looking at the guys who are fighting on it. Nick Blackwell's defending his British title against Damon Jones. Huey Fury's fighting against George Arias. This is not a bad opponent for Arias. I don't know if you guys have had a look at it, Rob, Damien. But Arias is 56-12. He's got 42 stoppages.
He took over the Arias in the distance years ago.
Yeah, he's
Brazilian.
You know, you'd think he's just fought Dennis Boystov in December as well, took him the distance.
Yeah, I don't think he's been. Has he been stopped or not?
Yeah, he's been stopped 4 times in his 12 defeats. He hasn't been stopped since 2005. So, you know, it's probably not a bad opponent for him, I guess, based on.
Yeah, and Fury didn't seem, when I watched him, he didn't seem to pack much power. He's more technical.
No, and you know, if this guy lands, it could test his chin, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, he's been fighting for 20 years now, 19 years.
It depends on his ambition, really.
It does, at that age as well. Lenny Dawes is on the card. Young Fury as well. Just on, while we're on the Hennessy card there, did you see Kid Galahad's ban for 2 years has been upheld today?
Yeah, I read it on the forum.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
spotted on V2 Boxing Forum.
Yeah, that's the excuse I thought was beyond ridiculous, but you know, yeah, his brother spiked his protein shake or something. There is a guy trying to bring this to everybody's attention. I hope it's going to be shown on telly, but I don't think so. Nathan Kirk is fighting. It's a lightweight division fight. Nathan Kirk's 4-1. He's fighting Christian Leight. Christian Leight, British. 35 years of age. He is 9 wins, 201 defeats, and 7 draws. He's been stopped 5 times. I can see it going the distance. He hasn't been stopped. Oh, no. He fights every week. Sometimes twice a week.
He fights all over the country, though.
He does. Yeah, these kind of guys, I know we do take the mick and we do have a laugh at their records and things, but these kind of guys are needed in boxing. There was a great article recently on the BBC about journeyman boxers and the life of a journeyman boxer. So if you get a chance to have a look at that, it's worth having a flick through. Just have a look what other British cards are on. He's promoting that one there. There's a VIP promotions card on in Liverpool tomorrow as well. Most of it's TBA. Gary Sykes is on it. John Quigley, Andy Coughlin's on it against David Barnes. Larry Ekandayo is on that card as well. I thought he fought for Matchroom. Don't know why. But he beat Dale Evans, didn't he, in March, Rob? Obviously, yeah, Dale's from down your way.
I believe because he won the prize fighter as well, didn't he?
He did.
And I think he was always struggling for fights. He's really talented, but it's just, he can't be a ticket seller or, because he's quite old. He's 33.
Yeah,
9 fights.
That's so. The other thing as well, isn't it? We talk about these young lads on the card. They've got to sell their own tickets, or some of them don't fight. And I don't think it's with Matchroom. A lot of the smaller promoters, I think, are certainly used to work that way. And if you don't sell your tickets, you don't progress, sadly, do you? It's
you don't get on the show if you can't sell the tickets.
Yeah, I know we say it's a sad state of thing, but that's just how it works. There's also one in Ellesmere Port tomorrow, which is Long Shot Sports and AA promotions. Matty Askin, Matty Fagan are on the card. Matty Askin, obviously, who recently fought and lost to Ovil McKenzie by majority decision for the British cruiserweight. He's fighting for the English. title. That's it for real domestic cards. But in the States, in Las Vegas, there's two cards on. Beybet Shumanev is fighting BJ Flores for the interim WBA cruiserweight title. Rob, how do you see that one going? Shumanev, who will be known to some British fans because he lost to Hopkins last year.
Against Hopkins. Yeah. Until then, he looked pretty good. I'm expecting him to win on points against Flores, but I really expected to go the distance.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't really fought anybody before Hopkins who would test him, had he? That was the thing. And it was a big step up from the likes of Enrique Ornelas, Tamás Kovacs, to Bernard Hopkins. It's a massive step up, and you've got to give some credit to him for taking it, I suppose. The other card then, Damien, if you're still with us, or has your mic gone a bit funny there, pal? There we go. The other card then, Damien, is Sergey Kovalev is fighting Najib Mohammadi for the WBA Super, the IBF and the WBO light heavyweight titles. How do you see that one going, mate? Early stoppage for Kovalev, or do you see Mohammadi maybe being able to just take him into the later rounds?
I think Mohammadi will take him into the later rounds because I think he fought cleverly. You know, he showed himself to be, you know, a bit tricky whenever fighting him, so I think Kovalev probably won't have it all his own way early. You know, he'd probably have to dig deep and go for it. But they expect, I think with any Kovalev fight, you always have to expect him to, you know, get the KO. So, but I think it won't come too late.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say is he's been stopped twice in his career. He's got 3 defeats, 2 stoppages, and they came in the first and the second round.
Yeah, he is very awkward. It's just KO losses. It's just if Kovalev does managed to connect, and it could be over. Yeah. But he is a good fighter, ability-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he doesn't seem phased, does he, either, about Kovalev, which you tend to see a lot of fighters there. They lose the fight before they step in the ring.
Yeah, but he's fought quite a lot of good fighters, you know, like European standard and around there. But, he won't be phased, but it's just how he reacts once he gets hit.
Yeah.
I've gone for an early KO, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him, mm-hmm. you know, drag it all the way.
On the undercard of that one, Jean Pascal is fighting Yuneski Gonzalez. Gonzalez is 16-0 with 12 knockouts, so not a bad fight, to be honest, for Pascal after fighting. He hasn't fought since Kovalev in March, and he showed he can take punishment in that fight. And then on the undercard is Isaac Chalemba, who, again, British fans will know because he fought Tony Bellew twice last year, I think. But apart from that, you know, they're the fights for this coming weekend as of when we record it. They might have happened when you listen to it, and we'll review them next Wednesday when we're back on. Guys, anything else you want to add before we finish the show?
No, that's everything covered.
Yeah. Well, we hope you all enjoy the weekend's boxing, or if you're listening to this next week, enjoyed it. Drop us a message on social media, Facebook or Twitter, RingNews24 and V2 Boxing at the two pages, and let us know what you think or thought of the weekend's action, and we'll have a look and discuss some of your comments, I think, next week. Or you can drop us a message on the forums, KO Boxing Forum and 606v2.com. Both sites as well are looking for writers, so again, get in touch with us on social media or via the forums, and we'll be able to give you all the information and get your work read by hundreds of thousands of readers all over the world. You've only got to give us, what, one article a week, Rob?
One will do.
Yeah, one a week is more than enough for us, and we'll publish it for you. Besides that, it's everything from us. So we hope you have a nice weekend, and we'll speak to you all next week. Good night.
Bye.